Welcome to Audible Insights, brought to you by the Insights Association, the leading voice, resource, and network of the marketing research and analytics community. With our host, Paul Kirch, research industry veteran and business leader, and our amazing guest lineup, we'll uncover actionable insights and creative new ideas that you can apply to your own business so you can stand out from the competition. Here's Paul Kirch.
Today on Audible Insights, we've got Darren Maggie, Managing Director at Azentria. Darren is a Certified Information Systems Security Professional, also known as a CISSP, and he's a 22-year veteran in information technology and information security. Previously, he's worked for companies like Security Advisors, SCI, Northrop Grumman IT, and Cabletron Systems. He helps companies of all sizes and types implement cost-effective and sustainable strategic information security programs. I bring all this up because through a strategic partnership between Azentria and the Insights Association, we're helping companies in insights and research get ISO 27001 certification and implementation. So we're really excited to bring Darren on the show so we can learn more about what's at risk and what we can do to safeguard ourselves. Let's welcome Darren Maggie to the show. Darren Maggie, welcome to Audible Insights.
Thank you, Paul.
Your company, Azentria, is actually partnering with the Insights Association and helping people with their information security. One of the things that is really big right now is ISO 27001 certification, and your company is actually helping facilitate that. Let's talk a little bit about the vulnerability of the research industry, because I think a lot of companies out there kind of bury their head in the sand when it comes to these topics. So what kind of vulnerable situations are companies putting themselves into today?
Well, it generally starts with organizations not being fully aware of what information assets they have, how those assets are at risk, and just understanding, you know, in terms of what drives their business, just how close they are to the flame to begin with. So, getting, management to connect to the information security issue is a challenge, Paul.
There was a time when vulnerability was obviously something that there weren't a lot of things you could do about it. I mean, you were kind of in a vulnerable situation. But also today, hacking and other things have become more sophisticated than they once were. So how hard is it, or is it costly for a company to be able to monitor this type of stuff 24/7?
It doesn't have to be costly. And one of the things that we advise our clients on is, we understand that initially this can look like an overwhelming undertaking, that being information security. But we advise all of our clients, start small, but start immediately. You can always build off it, but if you start to take those appropriate steps today, it's going to get that momentum going for you.
How prevalent is phishing and other attempts at hacking and trying to break in? How extensive is this today?
Well, phishing right now is definitely on a growth spurt. So we've got phishing and ransomware. Of course, we're hearing an awful lot about both of those in the news, but they have proven to be very successful attack vectors simply because the majority of them are really focused on the inexperienced end user. So when you think in terms of somebody that's sitting on your network, the action doesn't need to be malicious in order for it to have a very decidedly negative impact on your organization because someone clicked the wrong link, for example.
I think there was once a time when a lot of companies felt, hey, this is a bigger issue. It's going to happen to the bigger companies. It's not going to happen to us. And if it does happen to us, we'll deal with it. But you guys have done a study, your company done a study, and you expect that by the year 2021, there'll be over $6 trillion annually in cybercrime damages. I mean, obviously, this is becoming a widespread issue where everyone needs to be aware of this, correct?
That is correct. And in terms of whether you're a small business or a large business, how much of a target do I represent? There was a study done recently by an organization that had determined that 45% of all of the new attacks that had been recorded were specifically aimed at small businesses simply because those small businesses have already proven to have a less thorny exterior, which means that a bad actor would be able to gain access to that organization easier. Time is money. And then they would be able to use that entry point to escalate their way into one of the larger partners of that organization for the real payday.
So what's the opportunity out there for a company that wants to explore ISO 27001 certification? This is an area where it gives their clients confidence, gives them confidence. But what's the opportunity and what are the steps that a company needs to take to get prepared for going through this?
That's a great question. You mentioned ISO 27001 certification. First and foremost, the primary value of ISO 27001 is the fact that it's so comprehensive and so accommodating, and it was purposely built for organizations of all size, organizations of all mission, essentially in any geography. So the primary value is the fact that you can encapsulate so much. Your people, your processes, your technologies, all of that is nested neatly beneath ISO 27001. And what we recommend to our clients is don't fixate on certification, which could be a huge undertaking from the get-go, or even overwhelming. It could almost create its own inertia. So don't fixate on certification. Let's just worry about implementing the policies, the procedures, the best practices, and then live with those for a period of time. Exercise those within your organization before you strike towards certification. So the primary steps involved, Paul, are understanding what your risk environment looks like, understanding your assets, understanding the risks and threats to those assets, placing a value on those, and then determining the best way to mitigate them. Beyond the asset identification and the risk assessment, we're really looking to make sure that any gap in the eyes of ISO 27001 are going to be filled, and then we can go ahead and we can move an organization from our left-hand side of the process all the way to that, hey, we have a fully blown implementation of an information security management system. Now we've got something that we can work with in terms of this is the way an organization should be doing business in the 21st century.
Is ISO 27001 for everyone that's handling any kind of client data? Is it for anyone that's just internal data? Who does this really apply to?
That's a great question. It applies to everyone inside the organization. It's of particular interest to organizations that are working with that company. So one of the big movements afoot right now is third-party securities. An awful lot of the organizations that we work with on the marketing research and analytics side, they're being called upon by their clients to support and evidence the type of security program or the maturity of the security program that they have in place to give that comfort level and also satisfy the due diligence requirements of these larger organizations. So everybody is well served in this instance. The organization that is getting the ISMS put in place is well served. They could utilize that security program placement in order to drive down insurance costs. They can also utilize that to strengthen existing relationships. They can use it to gain new business. There's an awful lot of benefit to those organizations. And then their clients are also getting the benefit of having the peace of mind knowing that they're doing business with an organization that has implemented a known secure security program and is attending to that and continually maintaining it all.
Things like HIPAA data and other personal identifiable information, can we get to the point where we're able to protect this level of data that a client can feel secure that they're working with a company that really is buttoned up?
That's another good point. So in terms of ISO 27001, generally what we'll do, because ISO 27001 is so flexible, it accommodates other regulatory compliance areas such as HIPAA or PCI or the cybersecurity framework, what have you, beneath it. So ISO 27001 can be used as an umbrella, and all of the other compliance areas can be neatly nested beneath it. We can document their alignment. The client ultimately has the benefit of being able to manage one primary compliance area, and that's with ISO 27001. And at the same time, they will also be maintaining all of those other areas as well. So it's very cost effective, Paul.
So where do you see the information security world going? Is it going to become more automated, more secure? We talked about the $6 trillion in vulnerability by the year 2021. I mean, that tells me that even though we are getting to the point where things seem like we're able to safeguard more, there's definitely more hacking and more phishing and other things happening out there. So do we continue to become more vulnerable, or do we become more stable as time goes on through automation and advanced programming?
Also a good question. I believe what we're going to see here is there seems to be a trend moving away from organizations that are just looking to put more products or appliances or software in place in order to mitigate any of their risks. And there seems to be more of a trend moving towards, let's educate the end users. Let's make sure that everybody is aware of not only their own behaviors, but of the behaviors that might create additional risk that may prove to be good fodder for anybody outside or within the organization that does have malicious intent. There has to be this behavioral component that's running parallel with any of the automated security controls that are being put in place, but it has to be front of mind. If anything, Paul, I would say that maybe what we're looking at is organizations starting to realize that in a lot of cases, too much computing power afforded to end users that do not need it.
Darren, let's step back and give our listeners a little something of value here, because I think that a lot of times this seems like an overwhelming, daunting issue. I think some people, like I said earlier, I mentioned they bury their heads in the sand. But what are some of the things that surprise you the most when it comes to companies where they just don't even take into consideration areas of vulnerability?
I think that what I see that surprises me most is a lot of folks, while they see things in the headlines, they could even look and relate to items that they see in the headlines in terms of threats that they may be faced with, will still choose to turn in the other direction, thinking that maybe it'll happen to someone else, but certainly not me. So the failure to take proactive steps or to ultimately wait until it's too late. And what I mean by that is it's never fun to engage with an organization after the breach has taken place because emotions are running so high. There just seems to be this confirmation bias at play or a normalcy bias at play that prevents an awful lot of folks, very smart people, from leading the organization down the path and putting these things in place. Because as you had indicated earlier, Paul, it doesn't appear that this situation is getting any better. If anything, it appears that the information security front is getting more complicated and worse. So this isn't going away. It needs to be addressed. You have to be proactive about it. And when it comes down to it, 100% of our clients, midway through the process, seem to get it. And all of a sudden, they understand that this really is the only way to operate a business in the 21st century with that threat environment that we're facing.
I think sometimes we need a little slap in the face to be reminded of the risk. I got a nice friendly letter from the IRS telling me that somebody was falsely filing tax returns under my Social Security number. I was one of the victims of the security breach that the IRS had. And even though government agencies obviously face their own challenges, it was surprising to me the widespread impact that occurred because of their security breach. And if the IRS and other large agencies like that can be impacted, it makes me aware that it can happen to anyone. When it comes to that issue that the IRS faced, what are some surprises that came out of that for you?
First of all, I was also affected by that. That was 2 years ago for me, Paul. So it does go to show you that anybody can be impacted by these things. And my being a 23-year veteran in this space now, I was very surprised when I went to file my taxes and found out that my Social Security number had already been used for a tax return. So there you go. There's two of us on this call that were affected by it. But I had also done an awful lot of work in my early years in this business, particularly with the public sector. And the public sector found information security early on as part of the FISMA, which is the Federal Information Security Management Act. That act was ratified in 2002, so that was a while ago. But it was viewed as an unfunded mandate. And while everyone knew that they needed to get it done, there really wasn't an awful lot of putting your back into it. There was more of a box checking exercise. And that is how the government was approaching it at that time. And frankly, it was because they really didn't have the budget to do much more than that. So I really wasn't that surprised when this took place, because these organizations were strapped for cash. They were doing the best they could. And in most cases, they were just trying to either put only software, hardware, or what have you in place, try to mitigate these risks. Now they're really picking that up and they're advancing it intellectually by adding a strategic security program behind it, which is an awful lot of what NIST has been writing about in the 800 series publication, Paul.
We're talking to Darren Maggi, Managing Director at Azentria. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Did you know that damages relating to cybercrime are expected to cost businesses and individuals $6 trillion annually by the year 2021? As handlers of massive amounts of data, market research and data analytics companies face enormous risk as potential victims of a devastating breach. To help members best secure their data, the Insights Association provides, through a separate entity called CERC, auditing and certification to the ISO 27001 standard. This certification is being demanded by an increasing number of corporate research departments. So, not only can ISO 27K certification secure your data and save your company from a crippling hacking incident, it can also secure your additional business. Learn how you can shore up your data protection with a strategic information security framework and at the same time garner a credential that elevates you above the competition. Visit insightsassociation.org/infosecurity for more information. That's insightsassociation.org/infosecurity.
Welcome back to Audible Insights. We're talking to Darren Maggi, Managing Director at Azentria. Let's jump back in. This was obviously a few years ago when Yahoo had their big security breach and 1 billion subscribers were impacted by that security breach. And actually, after Verizon had acquired Yahoo, it turned out that it was probably closer to 3 billion accounts were actually impacted. Now, a lot has changed since then, but are we still facing those types of risks today with companies on the scale of Yahoo and Google and others that could potentially have these types of breaches?
Yeah, we are. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we have, I don't recall who coined this phrase, Paul, but software is eating the world, right? And it's very true, extremely true. Well, what happens is that the people that are writing the software code are very good at writing code. They're not really good at writing secure code. And that's changing quite a bit because there's much more emphasis being placed on that now. But while we have this legacy code and there's, you know, I couldn't even begin to quantify the number of lines of code that are out there, not all of the risks associated with the code that's in wide use has been remediated or addressed. So while that's the case, I would expect that things in that world, if any type of bug or vulnerability that's in software or vulnerability that's in code anywhere is going to be exploitable for some time until we figure out a way to button all of that up. And maybe that's just time play. In the interim, what ends up happening is that we really find ourselves then faced with the next biggest threat, which is going back to the phishing and the ransomware and spear phishing and whaling and some of these other techniques that are being used, which is also aimed at a weak link, and that weak link is the end user. So I would say that we're going to continue to see these problems, you know, just increase for a period of time. I have not seen anything that makes me believe that we're close to a tipping
point. It's obviously concerning, and it's something that I think everyone needs to take seriously. So if you were running a, let's say, small to mid-sized market research company dealing with client data, possibly dealing with some personal identifiable information in some of the data that you were working with, where would you start in terms of trying to button up your process? I mean, obviously, ISO 27001 certification is a great next step, but where would you start?
First thing I would do is I would start by, I guess, taking a triage approach, and I would want to first understand the composition of the data that I process. Am I processing, am I storing any sensitive data today? So I want to understand that. And if I am processing and storing sensitive data, where is that data? Where do I keep it? Is it in the cloud? Is it on premises? Where is that data? And then the next step would be to understand who has access to it. So once I understand who has access to that information, I can better determine how it's at risk. That's a very rubber hits the road, pardon the hackneyed premise, way of being able to wrap your head around at a very high level what the risks are, right? And understanding the asset composition as well. So that's where I would start. I would understand what sensitive data do I have? Where is that sensitive data being stored? Who has access to it and how is it at risk? And then address those risks primarily.
Darren, this has been great. I thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. It's obviously a serious issue. And folks out there, please visit theinsightsassociation.org/information-security-services. You can learn more about the ISO 27001 certification program. But Darren, I'd like to give you a chance to tell the listeners how they can learn more about you and connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody could reach out to me at my email address at any point, dmaggi@azentria.com. ezentria.com, E-Z-E-N-T-R-I-A. Or there's actually linkages available on those Insights Association pages as well. But we're certainly available to answer any questions and really trying to help the Insights Association members to get a better handle on information security and understand some fundamental ways that they can become actionable, Paul.
And we really appreciate what you're doing for our members and appreciate the partnership greatly. Darren Maggie, once again, thanks for being on Audible Insights.
Thank you, Paul.
I hope you took away as much as I did from Darren's conversation. Great insights. And I tell you what, it makes me just realize the risk and vulnerability that we're all facing. I encourage you to visit theinsightsassociation.org/information-security-services. Thanks again, Darren Maggie, for being on. Once again, my name is Paul Kirch, host of Audible Insights, and I want to pay a special thanks to the Insights Association. Through this show and other means like theinsightsassociation.org, you're going to find a lot of ways that they're advancing the insights and research industries. So we thank them for all their contributions and everything they do. And if you want to learn a little more about me, check out my other show, Boss Academy Radio, at bossacademy.com, where we focus on real business ownership success strategies. Thanks again for your time. I hope you have an amazing day.
Thanks for listening to Audible Insights, a production of the Insights Association. We empower intelligent business decisions through our support of the marketing research and analytics community. Learn more about our advocacy, code of standards, education, certification, and the many services we provide to businesses and professionals at insightsassociation.org. And if you'd like to reach out to Paul Kirch directly, email him at paul@websitesandleads.com. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you have an insightful day.